You're listening to Pod of Wonder, the podcast that creates a world using random Wikipedia articles and then plays a game in that world. This season, we're making a magical apartment building where tropes come to life.
Yeah. There was the parent trap scenario?
What, they're sisters? They're twins?
They're identical cousins.
Hmm?
Who's identical cousins?
The identical cousins. But they're cousins.
Identical cousins. What is... The Patty Duke show?
Oh, no.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I mean, that's the phrase, identical cousins is the show that pops up when I type in identical cousins. Right after identical cousins, how is that possible?
That was my question.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I think that it means somebody was naughty.
Oh my!
That would be a very tricky.
I guess that would be kind of addressed in the pilot episode. Or...
Probably never.
Probably never.
I mean, that sounds like one of those things that you can just say, and people are like, "Oh, that's a thing, I guess."
Sure.
Why not?
It's less awkward to accept that than it is to question further. Yes. You can get away with a lot by relying on the politeness of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing, before we get started, this is a real question.
Is it?
What?
Mm-hmm. So, what? No, if you have a can of jellied cranberry sauce and a can of black beans, and you had to race them.
You said green beans earlier today.
No, black beans.
You said green beans.
Oh, that would change the whole dynamic.
That would change things. Black beans are usually much more densely packed than green beans.
Right. So I'm wondering if you had to race these two down a hill, which one would win? And I think the cranberry sauce would be the shoe-in here, but I'm really not sure.
I think if there are lumps and things, then you're going to build up some interesting...
Well, that's what I'm thinking here, is the sort of the fluid dynamic.
Right. I think the cranberry sauce would win, as long as the cranberry sauce is like a similar consistency throughout.
That's my thought as well, but I think it would build up speed initially faster, but I think if the course were long enough and not uniformly...
You gotta go with consistency. Slow and steady wins the race. Like, what if a can of beans just, like, had a weird weight at some point in the rolling process and, like, just veered off course?
Mm-hmm. Right, I guess.
That is true.
Yeah.
A hot dog, good call.
Yeah, there's a lot more just, like, uniformity with the jellied cranberry, because it's a single mass. Like, there's not water sloshing around. It's, like, if you start it rolling straight, it's going to stay straight.
Mm. Right.
In a way that beans would not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're probably right there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still kind of into the beans.
I'm into the beans too. And I think...
I'm sorry. Well, anyway, you were trying to...
Did we decide on what kind of bean, though?
My initial thought was going to be black bean, but I think you might be right that if it were different sizes of beans, you're going to get different performance dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm thinking if it were green beans, then, you know, there is that unpredictable element of all the water and the loose beans. Like, maybe, like, if it stayed straight over a long enough course, maybe the sloshing would give you a higher speed.
Something about the sloshing inside would help it maintain its blinkety blink, you know, the speed down.
Yeah,
as it vroom vrooms.
Yeah, the bingo as it vroom vrooms. These are science terms.
Exactly. Very precise science terms.
Yeah. Also, I guess happy Thanksgiving from Pod of Wonder. You're probably hearing this in like January. But remember Thanksgiving? Anyway, believe it or not, this is
Pod of Wonder.
This is Pod of Wonder, a world building podcast where, God, what is
it? We discuss the aerodynamic challenges in rolling cans of things downhills.
Yes, and sometimes we talk about the chamber heights on the park at Sweet Burble Waters a magical apartment complex. Just
yes, that too.
Chock full of tropes. I'm Danny, chock full of tropes. Any pronouns are fine by me.
I'm Morgan, they, he pronouns for me. Thank you very much. And I am firmly on the side of cranberry hill rolling winning.
I'm Rhea, them pronouns. And not talking good because of many, many eatings.
Many eatings.
Mood. I'm Mike. I'm going with he, him. And I'm very sad to be on the side of the cranberry sauce. I want things to go in a different way, but I guess that's what it's going to be like.
Beans forever.
Beans forever.
Bean goes vroom vroom.
So, this is our podcast.
This is our podcast.
Welcome.
If it does not appeal to you in some way,
you're wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong. Not the tone I was going to take, but I do appreciate the combativeness.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
I will fight you.
Yeah, okay.
Morgan is here to start fights.
I'm Morgan, and I'm here to fight you.
Nice.
Oh, that's how this is starting this week. Yeah. So, cool.
We have two episodes of trope people building left. We have the person from the small town who came to make it big, and two people who argue all the time but are secretly in love with each other. Which person will we create today? I guess we'll continue to let a die roll decide that, actually.
Okay,
sure.
Just for consistency, yeah.
Coin flip, die roll, same thing.
Yeah.
I have my two-sided die here, so.
Nice.
Two.
Two. We should have established which was which.
Yeah.
Well, you said that two people are in the second position from the talking.
So yeah. From the list of two, neighbors who always argue but secretly love each other is the second option.
Cool.
So maybe this could be either like one article that we pull two people out of, or like two articles that we try to combine in some way. Like a weird shipping meme.
Ooh, let's see what things we pick and see what's vibing.
Yeah.
Good.
What? I like this. Yes.
How do you already have a thing?
I hit on something very early and that translates easily.
That's good.
I'm imagining this as like one article creates the two people, though. So, So if you don't like that, we can like combine separate articles.
Okay, I've got an article where I have absolutely no idea how I would transform it, but I feel like it would be the most enjoyable.
All right, I'm just sticking with this. I'm not sure. Is it a real person? It's a real person or a character in a book.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah. That does kind of fit the season, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Am I a person or am I just a character in a story fulfilling a role?
Are we human or are we Prancer?
It's true. Good question.
What a callback.
You walked into that one. Since you started speaking, I was like, yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so I will go first on with my article. So I have Paulsgraf versus Long Island Railroad Company. This is a leading case in American tort law on the question of liability to an unforeseen plaintiff, which I only kind of know what that means, but... Helen Paulsgraf was taking a train to the beach with her daughters. The person who was getting on board the train before her dropped a package that exploded and caused a coin-operated scale to fall and hit her. And she, you know, she had some like emotional trauma from the event and sued the railroad company. And was basically the issue of the court case was whether the train company was liable for the damage. Like, could they have potentially foreseen this event happening? You know, obviously, like, these are the two people in our prompt. Like, one person has, like, caused some unforeseen harm that, like, the other person takes personally. But, you know, at the same time, like, she kind of wanted something from them or was drawn to them in some way. And, you know, they keep bickering over this incident, but it's clear that, like, the mutual feelings that they have for the for each other keep drawing them together, but they can't quite get past this thing in their past.
Ooh. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a court case. It kind of came with a built-in story. I'm just, you know, filing off the details and turning them into, like, a bickering couple.
Nice.
Not a bickering pre-couple. I guess.
I have one that is, the article is called Dark Core.
Ooh.
Also referred to as Dark Side Hardcore, is a music subgenre of breakbeat hardcore and jungle in the UK rave scene that emerged from late 1992. It's recognized as being one of the direct precursors of the genre now known as drum and bass. Darkcore is often characterized by dark-themed samples, such as horror movie elements, cries for help, sinister-sounding stabs, and synthesizer notes. Along with syncopated breakbeats in addition to four-to-the-floor beats and low-frequency bass lines. Don't know what a lot of this stuff is.
Is that wub-wubs? Is that what wub-wubs are?
Yeah, I do not know.
I don't know.
There's notable releases mentioned that I don't recognize at all, such as DJ Hype's Shot in the Dark, Origin Unknown's Valley of the Shadows, Ed Rush's Blood Clot Art Attack, Roofage Crew's Terminator, Doc Scott's Here Comes the Drums, and Drums is spelled with a Z. And Four Hero, Journey from the Light. So yeah, I don't know what a lot of these words mean, but there's like some fun kind of conflict in there. Horror movie elements. There you go.
Dark core.
Dark core.
I have Selena Mills. Selena Ann Mills was a school teacher who bought a girls' school in Park Street, Bristol, in December 1789 with her sisters Mary and Fanny from Mary Elizabeth of Sarah and Patty Moore, the sisters of Hannah Moore. And I do not know how to parse that sentence, and I read it several times. And it
took me there's a lot of names.
Mary and Fanny from Mary Elizabeth, Sarah and Patty Moore, the sisters of Hannah Moore. Whatever that means. Blah, blah, blah. They had nine children. And then there's this part at the bottom, the Bristol elopement. Mills got caught up in the elopement of Clementa Clerk, a wealthy heiress being educated at the school. An accomplice posing as a servant delivered a letter to Selena purporting to come from Clerk's guardian, requesting the Clementina take the carriage provided in order to go see him immediately. Selena and Mary saw Ms. Clerk into the carriage, but only later realized that they had been duped. And that is the entirety of the article. I have no idea.
She's an accomplice to young elopement or whatever.
Yeah.
It seems like she's a real person.
Yeah. But why?
I mean, she's associated
like
with real people. Like, there's all these names and then one person who, like, is not directly involved, but her siblings are. And, like, one of her several children has an article about him.
Apparently this elopement was a big to-do, I guess.
Yes.
I mean, somebody painted a picture about it.
Look at that. Oh, climbing out a window and everything.
Damn. I mean, they didn't have reality TV back then, so. Had to make your own fun.
Yeah. Pot of wonder. Make your own fun. Yeah. I don't know.
What on earth?
So I have Shake Hands with Murder, which is where Patsy Brent runs a small bail bond company, and her ambitious but dull-witted partner, Eddie Jones, secures bail for Steve Morgan, a man accused of embezzling $100,000 from the bank. Brent is furious and is forced to track Morgan before he can skip the country. When the president of the bank is found murdered, she also suspects that Morgan may have even been a killer as well. However, he's trying to prove his innocence of the charge, and Brent is persuaded to assist him in finding the real culprit. This is listed as a comedy.
Fantastic. Let's watch that.
But what happens?
They had to ultimately shake hands with murder?
I guess.
Yeah.
Bail bond company. Dull-witted accomplice.
Fun.
Comedy gold. Murder, what? Comedy gold.
I looked up what happens and what.
What happens?
So they spend weeks looking for this Morgan guy, and they find the bonds hidden in a secret compartment that is rigged as a booby trap. And so the booby trap is rigged so when you pull open the panel, it will cause a nearby suit of armor to raise and fire a gun at the person who's opening it. And so they trick people to coming into the lodge one at a time, and you know, knowing that the guilty person, like the person who stole the bonds, will know that the trap is there, and so they won't open the drawer, and everyone else will, which I guess seems like a way of setting up a lot of people to get shot for no reason.
Yeah, it's really true. But I mean, at least it explains why that there's a suit of armor on the front of the.
Wait, so you have to here. Die on purpose in order to expose the real killer?
Well, if you die, then you've proved your innocence, which I guess is the cost of justice.
Feels like a bit of a Salem witch trials kind of vibe there. Yeah. Like, if you drown, you're innocent.
So we've got 1-2 people and 3-1 peoples. Do we want to combine some 1 peoples? Does something jump out with
when you put it that way,
the bail bonds or the club music or the school teacher?
No, it was an illicit love affair.
But I mean,
Lementina Clark, or whatever her name was.
Yeah, she did enable someone else's love affair, but what about her own?
There's something kind of fun about the electronica part for me. The conflict between someone who's creating the original material and then someone else who's taking it and remixing it, and the eternal conflict of creativity that comes there.
Oh.
Ooh, or the conflict between like a school teacher who's trying to like get up early and like, I don't know, somebody who's just like blasting fucking like rave music at all hours. I feel like there's a lot of potential in every area here.
And the court case.
I do like Danny's court case because that's like nice and
there. It is sort of a blank narrative to kind of set up. Like we don't need to really take all that much from the article if we don't want to, because it's long. Mm-hmm. There's some legal ease happening.
It does make me, and it's not part of the article, but it does make me think about the different gauges of railways that there were for a long time before it got standardized. And there would always be these conflicts between the width of the rails that different companies had put down. And if you needed to go from one to another, you would have to basically take the train car apart and like reassemble it to be compatible with the next set of rails you need to go on.
Really?
And with all of the arguments between what the standards should be, and it was just a whole wheelie mess. It's really just the beans and cranberry thing all over again, except very large. This is not part of the article. I was just sort of reminded of this.
They didn't standard. I mean, I guess that makes sense. Like you lay the track for your own company, but Lordy, that's such a pain in the butt. That's why you standardize things at a lower level.
So something in Maria's article kind of made me think, like, what if it's like a Cyrano de Bergerac thing. Like she's helping out someone with their romance, but like she's in love with the person that she's helping out. And
maybe it's where does this sick beast come from?
Maybe she's like really in a fight with this, like, I don't know, raver, but like she's helping out a friend who is in love with the raver, and then she falls in love with the raver by attempting to help her friend.
Like, stop playing that music all day, but actually is writing the like bass tracks.
Yeah. like she only knows the raver from like non-musical encounters. Like she doesn't know that the raver and the music are the same person. So like in one end she's fighting this person like as a neighbor, but then she's like, oh, but
I can't resist their sick beats.
Oh god, I'm gonna clip that audio and use it as like a ringtone or something.
Yes, do it. Yes,
I can't resist their sick beats. So what is it, dark core and Mary
dark core,
what's her face, Selena? Wow, way off. Selena Mills.
So is it they like the person, but not the music, or they, we've said so many things now. I don't know.
We'll figure it out while we're actually building it.
Yeah. Maybe since we're doing two people, like 7 minutes on each person, and then like the conflict between them can be like another five. Oh, wait, no, wait, five, okay. Five, and five, because we do 15. Mm. That makes much more sense.
Five by five.
Five what by five what by five what?
Exactly.
Peanuts.
Oh, okay.
Cubic material.
Butts.
Mm.
Butts? Yeah, definitely butts.
That's so many butts.
Butts by butts by butts.
A lot of dangling prepositions.
Dangling.
No. No, I'm not.
That's a very firm refusal. Suspiciously so.
I didn't even like fully understand what the like precipitating question was. That she's like, no. I'm like, okay, sure.
Now, Mike, the principle behind collaborative world building is to support other people's ideas. you can say yes, or you can, you know, propose an alternate solution, but just no doesn't get us anywhere.
Yes, and.
Or no but. That's improv 102.
No but, yeah. No but.
So which of these people are we making first? I feel like we've talked about Selena a lot. I kind of want to find out who Dark Core is.
Okay.
Say five minutes on the clock to discuss Dark Core.
I think the Dark Core person should have a name and a stage name.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which there are a few stage names in this article.
There's some good names in this article.
There's some really good ones.
Art Attack.
That is a good one.
Like this is somebody who's like they're not just here to like give people like a good set of tunes to dance to. I'm a cool person. They're here to like express themselves through like turntables and synthesizers. Like
they're here to give the listeners an art attack.
Yeah. Like they're gonna smack you upside the head with some sick beats.
Yeah.
So
I'm kind of into Art Attack as the stage name for sure.
So what's their day-to-day name?
Scott. That's in here.
Scott is
Scott. Yeah. Definitely like maybe Scott. I'm trying to look at the other like Scott Smooth.
Scott Smooth.
Scott Smooth.
I didn't think Scott made a smooth brand of.
Yeah.
Is that how what they work on day to day?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the, they make toilet paper?
That's their day job, is they're like a toilet paper inspector. Quality control.
Oh, quality control, yes. Like you mean they test toilet paper?
Yeah.
Like on their bum?
Not on their bum, but like maybe they have like a fake baby or something that like they dab a square onto, and it like, does the fake baby cry? Then this is a bad batch.
Right. Oh, it's got electronic sensors on its fake.
Yeah. Like hole. Something like high tech, like the Willy Wonka of toilet paper. Like there's a lot of whimsy to this job that doesn't need to be there. Mm. And like, that's why Scott has to take such a dark approach to his music, is because like his day job is so kind of like twee and like unsatisfied. It's like, right. It's very pleasant and in an emotional tone that Scott just doesn't vibe with. So he has to become Art Attack.
They do like those little, they do like weekly toilet paper origami classes for people in the neighborhood to come and learn how to fold the ends of their toilet paper up nice into flowers and like dolphins and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It is just the sort of thing where it's Willy Wonka-esque insofar as there is a musical component to the workaday here.
Oh. Like
very kind sort of little jingly things, and maybe exporting that jingliness to remix it into something darker.
Yeah. Cause darkcore like samples from like horror movies and like sinister sounds. So like he takes this like this pleasantness and this like corporate music and turns it into something like edgy and danceable.
I wonder what toilet paper factory corporate music would sound like.
It's gonna sound a little something like this, and I'll insert the audio in post. Wink.
Nice.
Yeah, so we've kind of established he experiments with this music in his apartment. Like what's the rest of his apartment look like? We got like a minute left, so we're speed running this.
Probably like a big like gamer desk set up.
Yeah, a lot of lights, a lot of monitors.
Do his music mixing.
Yeah, but that's
like very dark in there, but just like a lot of like blue lights and like purple lights and green lights and stuff. Definitely has empty bottles of like liquor that are filled with like fluorescent liquid.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Under a black light.
But I like for the secrecy near the door. It's all like hand like knitted, toilet paper koozies and like doilies and like really, really very, just to keep up. And then there's like a nice, like little, like floral curtain. And then behind that, that's where like.
Are these cozies the kind of thing where it would be like a holiday party gift?
Yes. probably like one of those doorknob handle things where it's, themed.
So that's time on Scott / Art Attack. One thing I think we should establish though is, where is Scott in relation to Selena? Like next door, above her, below her, like across a courtyard, maybe?
Above.
100%.
Above, definitely.
And
like perfect like range for like, using the broom to hit the upstairs floor.
It seems like a bass heavy type of music too. So there's definitely like a shaking ceiling kind of vibe to it. Like Selena's chandelier that she has for some reason in an apartment. Just like clink, clink, clink.
Absolutely. Five. And he's on the fourth floor, right?
Yeah.
What? How do we know that?
Four
to the floor?
Yeah.
Four to the floor, yeah.
So, five minutes on the clock to discuss Selena Mills. Boop. So, we discussed she's a teacher. She has a day job. She needs to get up early. She needs to look after youths.
youths.
You know, the way that old people refer to young people. They're just youths.
Mm-hmm. The youths.
Maybe she reads a lot of Victorian romance novels. And this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but whatever happens, like, she does something in her free time that, like, she wants peace and quiet for, like, I'm imagining that, like, that starched up teacher's shirt and, like, a floor-length, like, navy gown. Like, she sits down with her tea and her novel, and then just the bass starts, and her night is just over.
Mm. Rattling teacup. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Dust falling from the chandelier, ruining her her books and her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Falling in your tea, yeah. Goodness gracious.
I know. Oh. It was
terrible. She's a romantic, though. Like, she helps out students with their kind of romance problems, but she doesn't have it herself.
Mm. But this very, very quiet and well-dressed gentleman with his hair parted and slicked down who lives upstairs, the one with the doilies on the door, he looks like such mm-hmm. a nice young man.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, maybe that's the... we should save that for, like, the joint section where we discuss both of them. But let's figure out her a bit more. Mm. Where does she teach? Like, what age range does she teach? Like, high school, college, adult learning?
Adult learning?
Oh, I feel like maybe high school, because I would go with adult learning, but usually that's, like, later classes, mm. so I feel like... Mm. She wouldn't be as bothered with late night raves.
Oh, true.
True.
Or maybe because it would be a night school, like, her nighttime is everyone else's... Well, no, then she'd be out of the apartment when the music was happening. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay, I like high school age. That's, like, prime, like, young emotion time where she's surrounded by all these, like, young teens and their hormones and their poor decision making, and, like, you know, in a way a lot of teachers would probably find annoying, but, like, she sees the charm of it, like, oh, to be that young again.
Yeah, but also, like, it takes, like, a lot of energy to, you know, prepare for the day with these high schoolers, so she wants to get some good sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't just teach, she provides emotional guidance and advice.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so she's got to be very cool-headed, mm-hmm. very calm, yeah.
What classes does she teach?
Victorian etiquette by way of, like, fork and napkin arrangement sort of stuff. I'm thinking, like, almost charm school light kind of thing.
Like, is she at, like, a private school?
Like,
do they have classes in, like, etiquette?
That's sort of what I was thinking, yeah.
Like, in my high school, we had a thing where, like the gym teachers and coaches, like, also taught history. So, like, there could be, like, an obvious passion area and then, you know, a thing that they do to pick up extra hours, I guess. So, like etiquette, the etiquette elective could be her passion, because that's very much like the romance, the sort of, like, Victorian will they won't the, like, comedy of manners type stuff. what is her what is her, like, mainstream class that she doesn't want to teach but has to teach?
I mean, I feel like it'd be like math or something very, very not whimsical.
Oh, something that would let her see, like, some of the beauty in the music, like math could, like.
Right.
Something with, like, the mathematical root of the beats or something.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
That would be, like, an in-future, like, benefit to her getting together with Scott Smooth. Like, she could help him with his music. He could help her, like, transform her mathematical equations into art. Oh
no! It just keeps underlining the statements perfectly. Like, you know, contextually, it could be like a romance theme too. Okay, yeah, 5 minutes where we discuss both of them jointly, like what is Selena's relationship with Scott? What is her relationship with Art Attack? And vice versa. 5 minutes go. Yeah, like Maria, what were you saying before about what she thinks of Scott?
Well, he just looks like from the outside, got a very steady, very sensible job. You know, working with toilet paper, it's something that everybody needs. You know, the outside of his apartment is very prim and proper and, you know, a little bit romantic. And I think that she's always approaching him in the most, like, staid and proper way possible, not realizing this, sultry.
At the community, like, events where the, like, the toilet paper origami and stuff, there's probably a scene where, like he holds her hand and guides her through the folds of the toilet paper. like he's just doing his job and going through the motions, but like her heart races at the touch of this soft fingered man. Not like that rough hooligan who's playing those beats all night.
Mm-hmm. Was he a former student of hers? And now fact that the student has become the teacher in a certain kind of way, is there some charm there?
Is there some age gap? Wow.
I think that's kind of a weird dynamic. I don't mind an age gap, but like her being in a position of power over him at some point in the past could be a little weird.
Mm.
What if... maybe kind of like along those lines, like she just happens to be a bit older and, you know, he either, you know, came to the town like after the point where she would have been teaching him or, you know, because people are coming in and out of this apartment all the time. And, you know, he's got this like this nightlife scene, which is really very like youth oriented and new things oriented. It's an outlet for him. He doesn't think much of his day job, but she really appreciates his day job in a way that he's not used to.
What if she also like spent a brief moment in her youth, sort of interested in that kind of stuff, and maybe from a mathematical standpoint, but then I don't know, somehow was persuaded that it was irresponsible and inappropriate and.
She had a wild side.
Right. A brief one, but that, like, sort of, like, it could be tapped into again.
Mm. Yeah, because the original Selena put herself on the line, you know, unwittingly, maybe, to, like, help a student out with their romance. And, you know, maybe it went bad in some way. She felt burned by it. And, you know, that caused her to put away that part of her life. Like, I can't get that involved with the students anymore. I'm going to, you know, try and stick to, like, you know, being the sensible, like, adult voice that they need. But maybe she has, like, a few records or something. No. DJs use, like, vinyl and stuff. Yeah, she has some records.
And, like, being reminded of it. Being reminded of this moment of indecency in her past is actually what's the most grating about it. In a way that something can only truly irritate you if there's a little piece of yourself in it.
Yeah. Mm. It's like a second level of will they, won't they, where like, is she going to like return to this former life that she had and enjoyed, like along with Scott/Art Attack? Being a figure.
But she would never want Scott to see her being anything but the most proper because he's such a proper young man.
Oh, but she goes out to a club one night and Scott's probably one of those DJs who like wears a weird mask or something because he doesn't want to be associated with his day job. And, you know, she falls in love with the music again. And
right, but she doesn't. She wouldn't want him to see...
Oh,
this movie is so bad.
Yeah. But in a good way. Good means bad. It's the 90s.
Yes.
Quick, say something sad.
And her
Good job. Crushed it.
Tears on the Dance
Floor. Tears on the Dance Floor. That's the title of the movie.
Oh my God, yes.
I don't... I mean, do we want a hot seat thing? Does anybody like want to volunteer to...
I don't know. I don't know if we... Do we need a hot seat? Like, I feel like this is enough, like, extra interaction. And I feel like a lot of the, like, romance or, like, tension would be mm-hmm. kind of more secret. So, like...
Mm. Yeah.
Filling out the rest of the world. That's the one thing I liked about the hot seats, though, is kind of filling out the peripheries of the world pertaining to the characters.
Oh. Mm. What if we talk to somebody who's a student of Selena, yes. but who goes out to the club for Art Attack, and like maybe she knows both of them, and like she sees that like Scott is Art Attack, and Selena's in love with both, God, and it's yes. just like, why? How are you missing this?
Yes,
they could be planning on just cutting them up.
Oh yeah. My God, you guys! I know who you both are, but you won't see it.
There's just such a mental line between Art Attack and Scott that your brain cannot process.
Like the patient but exasperated friend in the fan fiction.
But having Selena see the two sides of Scott and that she's in love with both will let her join those two parts of herself together and be whole again, too. And that's the true beauty, isn't it? Because we can never love others until we are whole within ourselves. Well, I don't know. Do you want to do it?
I mean, I feel like we kind of just like did it, or like described what would happen without actually doing it.
True. That's true. Can our student have a name, though?
Yeah. Let's pull a name from this article. Clementina. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, yeah, Clementina.
There we go. Nice.
Is she related to anyone in the building? Is that how she knows the two of them?
I don't think so. Like, I think she just has this connection to both of them without, like, living in the building.
Does she play the Clementina on the side?
What?
Like, does she own one?
Is that when you bounce small orange fruits off the wall?
Yeah, the one where you can bounce them off the wall into that sort of like set of strings there that are woven between each other.
Tightly woven toilet paper strands.
I imagine toilet paper strands on a, they would have to be very tightly woven though, right? In order to have any kind of resonance.
Yeah, definitely. They're soaked in resin? Toilet paper soaked in resin?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
The different colors so you can see which of the strings is going to be which tone. Yeah, the Clementina. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Okay.
Beautiful instrument. Very underutilized.
Is this gay Catholic fanfic? Sorry. I just... There was a non-zero chance Mike was right about something. So I went searching for Clementina, and that directed me to Clementine literature, which is, you know, named after Pope Clement I. It is described as exciting and romantic and sounds like gay Catholic fanfic.
That's amazing.
What kind of Catholic fanfic are you reading, Danny?
This kind, apparently.
What happens in it? Are you flogged or something? I mean, what is it?
I don't know.
Are you told that you're very naughty?
Okay, so I mean, let me find a good passage here. At Caesarea, Clement hears the Apostle Peter is there and about to hold a disputation with Simon Magus. At Peter's lodging, he finds Barnabas, who introduces him. Peter invites Clement to accompany him from city to city in order to hear his discourses. Clement sends a report of this to James, from whom Peter has an order to transmit to him accounts of all his teachings.
Oh. Oh my god. Are they going to do it? Are James and Clement going to get together?
Well, you'll have to read to find out.
Oh my god.
So this has been Pot of Wonder, I guess.
Yeah. Gay Catholic fan fiction.
Canned fruit and vegetable rolling podcast.
We can't resist the sick beats.
No, we cannot resist the sick beats.
I keep thinking this word, it says breakbeat hardcore, but I keep reading breakfast hardcore.
Breakfast hardcore, pot of wonder. These are words with meanings.
Pot of wonder. Anyway, we're done, I guess. Yeah. So. Everybody burp into your microphones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo. That's right. Everybody burp into your microphones. Everybody burp into your microphones.
That's the real dark core.
This has been Pot of Wonder. You can find us on Twitter at Pot of Wonder, and you can buy some shirts and hoodies and stuff at society6.com/potofwonder. I'm Danny. You can find me on Twitter at DannyPlaysRPGs, and you can find the games I make at DannyMakesRPGs.itch.io. You can find Morgan on Twitter at MorganTheFay, and you can find him on Instagram at Morgan_the_Fay_. Faye is spelled F-A-E in both cases. Maria and Mike are wisely not on any social media, but Maria would like to let you know that Mike sings obscure opera while they're cooking. And Mike would like to let you know that Maria makes multiple, mostly modified cats appear. Whatever that means. Our opening theme is Opening by Komiku, and our closing theme is Still Room on the Night Train by Ketsa. See you next time, Wanderers.